We're going to start today with a paper entitled Standardization and Comparability, a Regulatory Waltz. It's being presented by Anna Eilon, Geir Holland, and Shell Ovi Rosak. And I believe that Anna is going to open. And so Anna, if you're ready, you have 30 minutes and I'll give you a 5-minute warning and a 1-minute warning.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Good morning from sunny Norway. It's really great to be with you. Today we'll discuss our paper that is focused on standardization and comparability. This is how we will move through it. And without further ado, let's talk a little bit about the focus of the paper and why is it relevant. In terms of financial reporting, the focus tends to be on listed companies, but non-listed companies actually make up a very large segment of the economy, and the reporting for this segment tends to vary. Now the focus is increasingly on non-listed companies because there's questions about what are they required to do? Are they required to do too much? And across jurisdictions, the reporting is not comparable and varies. And actually within the jurisdictions, the reporting varies as well. Recently, ACSB's comprehensive review of the IFRS for SMEs have begun in 2019, and it is considering a lot of different issues related to IFRS for SMEs, specifically whether it should be an independent standard or whether it should be more aligned with the full IFRS. And we saw some of these issues came up in our study as well. And also comparability is an important consideration on what type of standard it will be and what type of requirements companies will have to comply with. Our paper examines standardization and comparability in a multi-standard setting, increasingly with the adoption of full IFRS, a lot of jurisdictions have multiple standards within their settings, and Norway is one of them. The specific episode that we're focused on is consideration by Norway to adopt IFRS for SMEs, going through that process over 5 years, and eventually not adopting the standard. The specific questions that we were asking were, what role does comparability play in the standardization process of financial reporting for private enterprises? And also, what dimensions of comparability are important for participants of the standardization process? Listening to the second paper yesterday, I think comparability, everybody uses the words comparability, but a lot of times people mean different things when they refer to comparability. So that was something of interest to us. Speaking about Norway and other EU countries, you have to recognize the importance of the EU requirements. So the two episodes that were really important for our context were the requirement in 2005 to adopt IFRS for listed companies, and the more recent directive that became effective in 2016 with the goal was to introduce simplification of requirements for SMEs and also improve international comparability. At the same time, member states had different options on how to adopt this directive, but that was an important trigger for the events that we were studying. Accounting in Norway is actually quite fascinating. Coming from the American context, I had a lot to learn because it is actually more complex than meets the eye. The financial reporting is regulated by the Accounting Act of 1998. In Norway, as in other civil law countries, accounting is regulated through legislative acts, and this accounting act provides the basis for financial reporting, but does not specify a standard setter to elaborate on the requirements in the accounting act. It is applicable to all companies of all sizes and of all types, and what that means, that includes not-for-profits, that includes cooperatives, and it is divides companies into sizes with lighter requirements for small companies and more extensive requirements for large and listed companies. As you can see, there's three different standards that are available and we'll talk about each one of them, but only one of them is not part of the legal framework, which is quite interesting, because that standard is Norwegian GAAP, while simplified IFRS and IFRS are part of the legal framework. So the Norwegian GAAP, that was the most interesting for me to kind of get my head around, because in a country that is highly regulated and highly legislated, you have an accounting standard that is not part of the legislative framework. How does that happen? Well, the law, the accounting law, sets out 10 principles that guide the accounting practice. It talks about recognition and measurement approaches and disclosure requirements and presentation format. So that's in the law. However, because it doesn't mention that additional standards have to be set, there is no standard setter that is kind of guided by the government, set by the government. The Norwegian Standard Board does exist, and it was formed in 1989 by private initiatives of accounting firms and universities and other stakeholders to take those principles of the law and actually develop the accounting standards. So Norwegian Accounting Standard Board has no legal remit to do it or receives no public funding to do accounting standards as well. Norwegian GAAP is rooted in the income statement view. Matching plays a big role. Fair value valuation or fixed and intangible assets is not permitted. It can be used by everybody, by any company that chooses. Even listed companies can use it for parent statements. The other standard that is actually in the legal, has a legal status afforded to Norwegian GAAP, is IFRS. It has a different lens, a balance sheet focus, valuation focus, and it was adopted in the legal framework in 2004. Of course, the accounting law is called Accounting Law of 1998, but it has been amended many times since, but it kept the name of the original timeline. And listed companies are required to utilize IFRS, but all Norwegian companies are permitted to use full IFRS. The last standard is another one that is quite fascinating, and it is referred to as simplified IFRS. It has the same legal status as full IFRS, but the simplified IFRS refers to full IFRS for recognition and measurement, and to the Accounting Act for presentation and disclosure. So it is an amalgamation of the two standards. It lists specific paragraphs in the IFRS standards that entities are exempted from when using simplified IFRS. So an example, in contrast to the full IFRS, which requires recognition of the dividends in the periods of declaration, under the simplified IFRS, just like in the Norwegian GAAP, proposed dividends can be recognized in the financial statements for the reporting period, even after declared after the year end. So the standards are taking things from the Accounting Act that are, you know, Norwegian companies are used to, which is this recognition of dividends. Even if you declare after the year end, you recognize it in the year that passed, and creating a mix between the Accounting Act requirements and actual IFRS. The government has to go through the legislation to update it, and that only happened in 2008, 14, 18. And consequently, there is a delay in the requirements of full IFRS and what is required in simplified IFRS. Currently, it doesn't include the latest standards that came online related to leases, revenue, and financial instruments. As there was an effort to streamline the reporting environment and having these multi-standards and consequences of having these multi-standards for comparability, we are looking at the episode where this standardization was the target. And to do that, we are using a multi-mode standardization model to help us kind of through this process. And that is based on Wigman et al. 2017. And they looked at standardization process through multi-players and saying that, yes, standardization happens in committees. Yes, it happens because of the market players. Yes, it happens by the government. But it's important to look at these players and interaction between all of those stakeholders. So what is standardization? Standardization aims to resolve situations where involved actors prefer a common solution to a problem, but have not yet agreed. An objective is to limit the number of solutions when using many different options simultaneously is inefficient and ineffective. So I will let Shel Ove take the next slide related to comparability.
Thanks, Anna. As Anna said, comparability is an important part of our research question. And in the conceptual framework, comparability is considered a qualitative characteristic that enhances the usefulness of financial information, especially for investors. They make economic decisions, and then they need to compare alternatives. And thereby, comparability contributes to the efficient capital markets. But what is comparability? The ISB defines comparability as the qualitative characteristics that enables users to identify and understand similarities in and differences among items. This is a definition close to Trueblood's definition from the 1960s. He said that comparability is about having like things look alike and unlike things look different. But when are things like and when are they different? That's the tricky question. As Seth noted, there are those who believe that comparability is promoted or assured by all companies being required to use the same accounting method, that is to say, standardization or uniformity of method. On the other hand, there are those who argue that there must be some options available to take into consideration differences in circumstances among companies or among countries. And in our paper, that is a finding that stakeholders fear that the IFRS for SMEs facilitates the similarity dimension, but not the difference dimension. Next slide, please. Since 2005, the EU regulation made listed companies in Norway prepare consolidated accounts in accordance with IFRS. Most other Norwegian companies continue to apply Norwegian GAAP, and thereby IFRS contributed to declined comparability between listed and non-listed companies in Norway. And many stakeholders in Norway have supported a move towards IFRS also for non-listed companies. And in 2014 and 15, two different committees in Norway proposed using the IFRS for SMEs as the basis for a national standard. And the first of these committees, they proposed a national standard that was a copy of the IFRS for SMEs, but with a lot of modification to comply with the Norwegian law. So they didn't propose a change in law, but they proposed to use IFRS within the existing law. The second committee was asked by the government to look into the law and see if there was a need for changing the law. And this second committee proposed to change the law to allow IFRS for SMEs to be used in Norway as is. And for both these committees, comparability was an important argument. And we analyzed the process around these two proposals. More specifically, we examined the standardization process, including the interplay of transnational and local standards. We examined the role of comparability in the process and the ensuing dynamics between actors. Next slide, please. And in this examination, we utilize a historical case study approach. And the case is the Norwegian process where IFRS for SMEs was proposed as the accounting standard for SMEs in Norway. And our data is documentary materials from this process. And our data covers the period 2013 to 2018. We start in 2013 because that's when the new accounting directive in the EU was issued. Then we follow the two proposals mentioned on the previous slide. And our period stops in 2018 when both proposals were put on hold. We want in our paper, we want to understand the role of comparability in this process. And we look at the arguments from different participants. We look at the arguments from the government, represented by EU and the Norwegian government. We look at the arguments by committees, represented by the Norwegian Accounting Standards Board, the Accounting Act Committee, and the International Accounting Standards Board. And we also look at the arguments raised by the market, represented by the comment letters in this process. And as our research question is about the types of comparability, we look into how the different participants in the process considered comparability. In general, the literature on comparability discusses comparability in two dimensions. One is the between entities dimension, with international and national comparability as subcategories. And the other dimension is comparability over time, which is a within entity comparability. And in this, in our analysis, we refine this last category to include comparability within entity independent of time. And then I leave the next slide to Anna.
We organize the players based on specifications of the standardization models, as Kjell Ove mentioned, government committees and market. So the two government players that we identified were the transnational influence from the EU directive. So we went through the EU directive with a focus on how they mentioned, how they referred to comparability. And the directive really focused on simplification for the SMEs. That was the goal of the director, but at the same time, greater internationalization. And they really talked in the terms, as expected in a way, for cross-border international comparability and need for comparability of financial information throughout the union. Their focus was on the consistency in the presentation and accounting policy as a mean to achieve cross-border international comparability. The government are considered gatekeepers in the standardization process because they have the legal remit and over accounting and company law. According to the Accounting Act, the annual financial statements shall be prepared on the basis of uniform principles that are applied consistently over time. There is a focus on uniformity of method, which is something that was highlighted in last night's presentation, where uniformity is, and consistencies are principles included in the Accounting Act that are expected to contribute to the comparability of financial reporting. However, the emphasis on the uniformity of method may not account for the differences among companies and make unlike things look the same instead of different. The next committee is IASB. And that committee is responsible for IFRS and IFRS for SMEs. As highlighted in the review that is ongoing now, currently the standards draw from different conceptual frameworks. As the conceptual framework for IFRS has been updated, and IFRS for SMEs is based on the framework from 1989. Consequently, comparability is enhancing characteristics in IFRS, in full IFRS, and fundamental in IFRS for SMEs. The focus in terms of comparability is to compare trends over time and different entities, consistency of measurement within entity over time and across entity, but the important point is for like transactions. So we see that the focus of the national government on consistency is a bit different than what is specified in the standards of making like things look alike, which is not really addressed what happens to the different things in the Accounting Act of the Norwegian setting. Another committee that is relevant for our episode is Norwegian Accounting Standard Board. And again, this is a very interesting player because it lost a lot of influence since the listed companies have moved off of the Norwegian GAAP. And it really has been a very the engine of trying to push the Norwegian government to look at IFRS for SMEs for the use in Norway. So in 2010, they asked the finance ministry to evaluate the feasibility of using the standard IFRS for SMEs in Norway. They did not get any positive responses. The ministry did not examine the issue and did not signal its willingness to revise the Accounting Act. So consequently, it said that it will move forward and propose IFRS for SMEs for non-listed companies. But since it doesn't have the remit to change the legal framework, it will do so without the existing Accounting Act. And of course, we have to remember that the existing Accounting Act principles are really income statement focus with matching. So trying to fit IFRS for SMEs within that framework is quite challenging. The comparability focus is similar to IFRS for SMEs of that proposal, and it highlights the importance of international comparability. The last committee that is relevant for us is the Accounting Act Committee. So while the Norwegian Accounting Board, Standards Board, has announced this proposal in 2014 and moved forward within the Accounting Act constraints, we have at the same time the European directive coming out and the government saying, oh yes, we need to make some changes, and they go ahead and appoint this Accounting Act Committee approximately at the same time, looking at the similar type of challenge. So these processes, even though Norwegian accounting, the NASB is moving a bit ahead, this committee comes online in 2015, and it's giving the mandate to evaluate whether the Accounting Act should be revised to include more of the international accounting standards. Related to comparability, the accounting, this committee was to examine how to balance the capital markets' demands for comparable information with cost-effective options for SMEs, and also look at similar countries. So this committee was giving this mandate to figure out what needs to be done in addition to making changes to comply with the directive. Some of the other things that were given within the mandate is to consider if reporting requirements should be differentiated for different preparers, the need to continue with the simplified IFRS, the relationship between the Norwegian GAAP framework and international standards, the role of the NASB and alternative approaches to standard setting. So when we interviewed the Ministry of Finance asking, well, this committee needed to be created because of the changes to the European directive, but it is so much broader than the changes that would be required by the directive. So they said, well, we had a big to-do drawer, and then this was the trigger where we could put all these issues on the table, which we needed to do anyway. So when the committee came up with a proposal, it was actually quite surprising for many people, because they said we need to remove the existing principles to allow harmonization with IFRS for SMEs, because IFRS for SMEs was not really part of their mandate. They argued that international comparable accounts are of great importance for all companies that are exposed to international competition or interact with foreign companies. So this national government appointed committee was really focused on international comparability. They also proposed to reduce the number of standards available and have simplified IFRS be allowed only for subsidiaries of companies using the full IFRS, but would still give a standard setter opportunities to make exemptions. At the same time, they argued that full IFRS should continue to be allowed for everybody because it's a better standard, more developed standard. And they also wanted to discuss the standard setting process and whether who should set the standards, whether it should be a public role or a private role, who should fund it. So that became an important issue as well. And now I will hand it over to Kjell Ove to talk about the market and conclude.
Yes, so now we go to the third mode, the market based mode. On the screen, you see the number of comment letters received in the three processes, in the two proposals. First, you have the proposal for the NASB, and then we have the proposal from the Accounting Act Committee that was divided into two documents. And what you see here is that the number of comment letters is in line with what we see in other research. The users participate to very little degree. The audit firms, all big audit firms, always respond. So the one observation that is special here is the not-for-profit column, where you can see that on the first proposal, 65% of all comment letters came from not-for-profit. And as Anna said, this proposal in Norway, the Accounting Act is valid both for not-for-profit and profit organizations. I see on my watch that I'm approaching the 5-minute limit, so I will make this quite quick. Next slide, please. On the first proposal from the NASB, that was the IFRS standard with modification within the existing act, there was a lot of comments from not-for-profit organization, mainly because they felt that the IFRS for SMEs did not fit their business model. And that was also a concern from many of the other comment letters, that they were not that concerned about international comparability, but more about comparability between Norwegian companies and within their own industry and own segment. Next slide, please. In the second proposal from the Accounting Act Committee, on this slide, we see on the, some of the comments from the preparers, and in general, there was some support from the preparers, but many of them, the preparers, asked why, if there really was a need for moving from existing Norwegian GAAP to IFRS for SMEs, because the existing GAAP was working well. So why going to something new and unknown? And I also raised the issues relating to the point that they wanted to keep some of the existing Norwegian GAAP solution because those solutions better fitted their business models. Next slide, please. The auditors, in general, they supported the international harmonization, but also the auditors raised questions. And EY was the audit firm that was most critical. And they said that they were not aware of any groups, any user groups that have asked for this change. So why do the change? And what even though most audit firms supported the international harmonization, they also supported differentiation and differential reporting. They acknowledged that this might reduce the comparability, but at the same time, they favored differential reporting for simplification purposes and to reflect the differences between companies. Next slide, please. I think I'll skip this one and take next slide. Then we have two slides on conclusion, one on standardization and one on comparability. On standardization, we see that the different actors in this process influence each other. The Norwegian standard setting is both dependent and influenced by standard setting abroad, and the different actors in the process influenced each other. What we also see is that in the Norwegian setting, there was a tension in the legal status of the accounting regulation. As Anna said, we have the Accounting Act, which is an act, and then we have some regulation that is administered by the Ministry of Finance, and then we have accounting standards issued by a private body. In the proposal from the Accounting Act Committee, it was proposed to make the accounting standards legally binding. That would make the standard setting more dynamic, but at the same time, it was not supported by all because this meant more power to a private standard setting body. And then we can go to the last slide, which is the conclusion on comparability. What we see in general is that while the committees argued that the move to the IFRS for SMEs was a response to demands in the market for international comparable information, the marketplace itself were not convinced that the benefits justified the costs. And the market actors focused more on national and industry comparability and less on international comparability. And many feared that the proposed move to IFRS for SMEs would mean too much emphasis on uniformity, which may obscure differences of entities. And by that, I conclude my presentation.
I think we have a couple of minutes, right?
Yes, if you wanted to add something.
I think an interesting, really interesting aspect of this, and that's why we actually called the paper the waltz, because we went for this long dance and we ended up in the same place, because government has not made any progress on this. Nothing has changed since this proposals came out, so there is complete impasse. And what's even more interesting, in 2018, the Norwegian Accounting Standard Board announced that it would stop the work on the standards, on the proposed standards, and will not revise Norwegian GAAP anymore. So, and nothing has moved since.
So. Yeah, and to compliment you, Anna, that means that we are worse off, because we have stopped the IFRS for SMEs process, but at the same time, the NASB has also stopped the maintenance of existing Norwegian GAAP. And that is partly because of this process and partly a funding issue.
Okay, thank you very much for an enlightening presentation. I found it very interesting, but I'll hold any questions I have.